Breaking news tonight, striking revelations and allegations from James Comey. Under oath, telling Congress he has no doubt he was fired because of the Russia investigation. And he believes that President Trump clearly tried to derail the Michael Flynn probe. Comey accusing the president of lying and defaming him.
Those were lies, plain and simple.
An extraordinary moment in American history. Did President Trump commit obstruction of justice? Tonight, the president's lawyer fires back. Predicting autism, doctors say a new brain scan could give parents critical clues in certain kids as young as 6 months old. And survivors' reunion, children who escaped the Holocaust together. The amazing story of how they found each other all these years later, living just miles apart, half a world away. Nightly News begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Washington.
Good evening. We're glad to have you with us on the day that Washington and much of the country stood still. For 2.5 hours, the nation was riveted as James Comey, the ex-head of the FBI, stood his ground, telling a Senate committee he believed the president of the United States fired him because of the FBI's Russia investigation and that the White House had subsequently lied about him and the FBI. Comey weaving a detailed narrative about disturbing conversations with President Trump, including one in which he says the president directed him to drop the Michael Flynn case. Comey's testimony leaving questions of potential obstruction of justice still hanging in the air, even as the White House found some vindication in his words. We have complete coverage starting with Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson.
Commanding a spotlight entirely his, James Comey turned it onto the president, describing Donald Trump as not truthful and not credible.
I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document.
Those memos provided the basis of James Comey's testimony today. Dramatic, compelling, and controversial.
Did the president at any time ask you to stop the FBI investigation into Russian involvement in the 2016 U.S. elections?
Not to my understanding, no.
Comey, less conclusive when asked about Michael Flynn, the fired national security advisor, after testifying the president said he hoped Comey would let Flynn go.
I took it as a direction.
Right.
I mean, this is the president of the United States with me alone saying, I hope this. I took it as this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
You may have taken it as a direction, but that's not what he said.
Correct.
He said, I hope.
Those are exact words,
okay.
Correct.
Do you sense that the president was trying to obstruct justice?
I'm sure the special counsel will work towards to try and understand what the intention was there and whether that's an offense.
That, a bombshell, implying the special counsel is looking at whether the president broke the law by directing Comey to dial back an investigation.
Why didn't you stop and say, Mr. President, this is wrong?
Maybe if I were stronger, I would have. I was so stunned by the conversation that I just took it in.
Another startling revelation came in this acknowledgement from Comey about the conversation he documented related to Flynn.
I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
That, of course, ultimately happened. All of it triggered by a tweet. The president, who apparently suspected Comey was behind that leak, wrote on May 12th, James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversation before he starts leaking to the press.
Look, I've seen the tweet about tapes. Lordy, I hope there are tapes. If he did, my feelings aren't hurt. Release all the tapes. I'm good with it.
Comey, clearly frustrated by the president's explanation for firing him.
The administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray. Those were lies, plain and simple.
And his concerns linger about the past administration, too, and then-Attorney General Loretta Lynch, appointed by President Obama. She met Bill Clinton on a tarmac when the FBI was looking at Hillary Clinton and asked Comey to call that inquiry a matter, not an investigation.
As I've said before, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We had an investigation open at the time, and so that gave me a queasy feeling.
A person familiar with those discussions tells NBC Lynch used the word matter to make sure she didn't confirm or deny an investigation and wanted to stay consistent with Comey. who never said at the time he wasn't comfortable with it. Capitol Hill, captivated by all of it. People lining up starting at 4 this morning. A group of FBI employees in the room to give moral support, calling themselves Comey's homies, and getting a passionate goodbye from their former director.
It was the honor of my life to serve beside you, to be part of the FBI family, and I will miss it for the rest of my life.
Republicans, skittish, still giving the president the benefit of the doubt.
The president's new at this. He's new to government. And so he probably wasn't steeped in the long-running protocols that establish the relationships between DOJ, FBI, and White Houses.
Democrats unsatisfied.
So the president needs to address the various allegations that have been made. And if he doesn't feel that they're accurate, he should say so. But if he can't rebut what's been said, that will be pretty damning.
And breaking late tonight, two congressional sources have just told NBC News Jared Kushner has agreed to meet with Senate Intelligence Committee staffers mid-month on the condition he submit documents and answer questions from the senators themselves at a later time. Lester?
All right. Hallie Jackson starting us off. Thank you. And James Comey's testimony has shed new light on the investigations into Russian election meddling and where they may be going from here. Comey's testimony also has a lot of people asking, did the president commit obstruction of justice? Our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, has that part of the story.
Robert Mueller, the special counsel who took over the Russia meddling investigation, now has the memos James Comey wrote after his meetings with Donald Trump, Comey revealed today. Comey says the president urged him to drop the inquiry into Michael Flynn, forced to resign as national security advisor. But is that obstruction of justice, trying to interfere with an investigation? Legal experts disagree. It requires showing intent, hard to prove.
I think it's certainly evidence of obstruction of justice. We won't know until the FBI investigation is over, but I clearly think that this is a very important testimony that will help in the development of a criminal case.
Watching closely today, Congressman Adam Schiff, top Democrat on the House investigation. He says it's telling that the president asked the attorney general and others to leave after an Oval Office meeting so Trump could be alone with Comey.
My sense was the attorney general knew he shouldn't be leaving, which is why he was lingering.
What was among the most striking to me is the president basically telling everyone else to get out of the room. As a former prosecutor, that says to me he is conscious that what he is about to do is improper.
Comey says he never told Attorney General Jeff Sessions about the meetings, partly because it was thought Sessions was about to take himself out of the Russian case, and partly for another reason.
We also were aware of facts that I can't discuss in an open setting that would make his continued engagement in a Russia-related investigation problematic.
Investigators tell NBC News the FBI was looking at whether Sessions had a meeting he didn't disclose early last year with Russia's ambassador at a Washington, D.C. hotel. Justice Department officials have since said there was no such meeting.
Comey says President Trump showed little curiosity about Russia's election meddling. After an initial briefing in January, he says the president never asked about it again. Lester?
Pete Williams tonight, thank you. Meantime, the Trump team isn't wasting any time in firing back at the fired FBI director. The president's lawyer addressing the media this afternoon saying Comey is the one not telling the truth. We get new details on what that's all about from NBC's Peter Alexander.
President Trump today off Twitter and on message, finding a friendly crowd at an evangelical conference.
Because as the Bible tells us, we know that the truth will prevail.
No mention of James Comey, later ignoring reporters' questions here at the White House.
Mr. President, do you think he told the truth?
The president's rebuttal, a combative statement from his private Manhattan lawyer, Mark Kasowitz.
The president feels completely vindicated and is eager to continue moving forward with his agenda and with this public cloud removed.
Kasowitz accusing Comey of lying about Mr. Trump's demand for loyalty and claims he pressured Comey to back off Michael Flynn.
The president never, in form or substance, directed or suggested that Mr. Comey stop investigating anyone.
That dispute could easily be settled if the president released secret tapes that he's suggested exist but is yet to produce. Kasowitz also seizing on other points, including the statement that Comey told Mr. Trump he was not personally under investigation.
Mr. Comey has now finally confirmed publicly what he repeatedly told President Trump privately.
The veteran trial lawyer attacking Comey for making public privileged communications with the president.
Mr. Comey has now admitted that he is one of these leakers.
The president's son, Don Jr., did tweet, "Flynn stuff is BS," adding, "very far from any kind of coercion or influence, and certainly not obstruction." The strategy going forward, White House veterans insist, leave the Russia investigation to the lawyers.
I would allow the White House to be focused on helping the president do the job of being president. And to me, that's most important. Don't get wrapped around the axle of the investigation.
Tonight, a White House spokeswoman is pushing back after Comey blasted the White House for telling, quote, lies about his dismissal. Sarah Huckabee Sanders flatly declaring the president is not a liar. Lester, back to you.
Peter Alexander at the White House, thank you. And for more on the political and the potential legal fallout from Comey's testimony, let me bring in Chuck Todd here with us in Washington and Savannah Guthrie back in New York. Chuck, let me start with you. We heard the Speaker of the House a moment ago say essentially the president's a newbie and may not know the ropes of protocol. Talk about the political fallout here, not only among Democrats, but within his own party.
Look, I think publicly, Republicans like Paul Ryan and others who were never big Trump fans, there's that part of the party, but they continue to try to essentially publicly protect him. And that was a sense that he'd done that. Now, the problem is, I think Speaker Ryan looks silly, especially given the worst aspect of that is the president told the attorney general to leave the room. So that tells you he knew that was what he needed to do there. So I think it actually undercuts the larger issue that Paul Ryan was bringing up. But look, I think politically today, the president survived as far as his base is concerned outside of Washington. James Comey, though, did a lot of damage to the president's reputation here in Washington, and that is going to leave collateral damage with Republicans here in Washington for some time.
All right, let me turn to Savannah. Savannah, you wear a lot of hats around here, also our chief legal correspondent. If we're talking about obstruction of justice, is there a potential criminal case here?
Well, you know, it's very debatable whether the conduct we heard described today would rise to the level of obstruction of justice under our criminal laws. And the fact of the matter is, our criminal statutes weren't really built for a situation like this where a president is potentially accused of firing his FBI director because he wants him to drop an investigation of a staffer. What would likely happen is that if the special counsel thought something was wrong here, that there was a criminal offense, that he would end up referring it back to Congress. There is Department of Justice guidelines that say you can't indict a sitting president. So, yes, there are legal questions here, but they're going to end up in the political branches with Congress if we get there.
All right, Savannah and Chuck, thanks to both of you. From coast to coast today, the Comey hearing was must-see TV for millions of Americans, many stopping everything to tune in, eyes glued to their screens, even holding watch parties to share the experience together. NBC's Gadi Schwartz samples the reaction across the country.
Come around and bring them out.
From the zen of morning yoga to the stress of the rush hour commute.
Why do you believe you were fired?
It was a Senate hearing heard round the country. At the dentist, getting ready for work, even in bars open early for Comey testimony watch parties.
Let's get it all on the table at this point.
There seems to be an awful lot of smoke, but not fire.
This was Beltway politics in a way that looked more like the NBA Finals than a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing.
We had about the same amount of crowd last night for the Warriors game, but politics, it was definitely the busiest we were at 6 a.m.
For the most part, those who turned up for parties in San Francisco, D.C., Houston, Los Angeles, rooting on the former FBI director.
This guy is presidential in a way that I think we've been lacking.
But in places like Gilbert, Arizona, liberals, conservatives, independents making their way to work agreed on one thing. The debacle is getting way too complicated to follow.
I'm kind of hoping I'll wake up in a few years and we'll still be a country and we'll have moved on from whatever it is.
Many feeling that Trump should expect loyalty.
I think Comey is full of hot air. And he deserved to be fired.
So we're Trump.
Others saying they believe Comey's word over the president's.
He's definitely a straight shooter.
But when it comes to Russia here in Trump country, some shoulder shrugs.
It doesn't affect my day-to-day life at all.
A nation diverse and divided watching a political spectacle that grows every day. Gadi Schwartz, NBC News, Gilbert, Arizona.
On Wall Street today, another record day. The Dow finishing up at 21,182 after hitting a new all-time high during the trading day. The Nasdaq and S&P were up as well. Experts say investors were not rattled by Comey's testimony. They're more focused on events right now in Europe, and markets closed before exit polls showed potentially surprise election results in the UK. Back at home in Georgia, horror on the roadway when a church bus carrying student missionaries overturned, killing one and injuring dozens more. The bus was filled with high schoolers from an Alabama church who were reportedly sent to fly from Atlanta to Botswana. Police are still investigating the cause, but say the crash apparently involved at least one other vehicle. There's more ahead here tonight. News for parents about predicting autism earlier than ever before in babies as young as 6 months. Stay with us. We're back now with news about something that worries a lot of parents, childhood autism. Early diagnosis and early intervention can be crucial in treating autism. Now researchers have a new tool that may be able to predict the disorder earlier than ever in high-risk babies. NBC's Ann Thompson explains.
You want me help?
Krista Robaina's oldest child, Evan, is autistic.
Every day of my life, I wish I could peek inside his brain and sort of understand what's going on.
Now a new study says brain scans may be able to predict autism in six-month-old babies who have autistic older siblings, a major risk factor.
There was a different pattern of connections in those children that went on to have autism versus those children that didn't have autism.
The study focused on 59 infants and correctly predicted 9 out of 11 children who were later diagnosed with autism. This is the second brain scan study showing it may be possible to predict autism in high-risk babies long before symptoms start to emerge at the age of 2.
What kind of difference could this early predictor make?
Treating earlier is better. If we were, we would be treating at a time before the symptoms appear and during a time when the brain is most malleable or receptive to treatment. This has great promise.
You want to count for Evan so he'll hide?
Krista enrolled her youngest daughter, Caroline, in the study. At 2, she is developing as expected with no signs of autism.
What's that?
When somebody says, oh, this is good, this is, they're meeting this milestone, you relax a little bit.
Study authors caution more research is needed, but this could be an important clue to help doctors and families unlock the mystery of autism. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
We are back in a moment with an emotional reunion more than 7 decades in the making and 3 incredible stories of survival. We're back now with a story of an unprecedented reunion. They were just children when they survived the horrors of the Holocaust, all 3 photographed in one of the indelible images from Auschwitz. By chance, they all ended up close to each other here in the U.S., but for 72 years, they didn't meet again until now. Kristen Dahlgren was there and has their incredible story.
It's one of the haunting images of the Holocaust, children freed from Auschwitz.
We are the witnesses.
This little girl, Tova Friedman, was just 6 when her mother did the unthinkable.
She hit me with a dead body and she told me not to move.
Sarah Ludwig, just 4 in this video.
I was a very gutsy kid. I was able to survive. Don't ask me how.
This is Michael Bornstein and his grandmother.
My grandmother hid me in an quote-unquote infirmary.
He finally told his story in a book, never knowing the 2 girls at his side then lived just a few miles away today.
So the moment I saw the book, I said, oh, there was somebody from that picture that's alive.
Hi. How are
this
you?
Week they reunited.
Look, this is, I've had this picture in for years. And I always wonder, where are the other people?
Oh, my goodness, that's me.
Yeah, that's you.
And that's me.
72 years after they were last together.
I just want to hug you guys. Can we hug?
Oh.
It's such a long time.
In 1945, we were there.
Just like this.
Just like that. We were standing next to each other, and we made it.
I'll show you my tattoo. We were probably
delve in our memories forever.
Now they're sharing happier times, children and grandchildren, which leads to one more connection.
She was the first grade teacher of my grandchildren.
Brought together by a book, forever bound by history. Finally, getting their chance to celebrate survival.
Nice.
Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, North Caldwell, New Jersey.
What an amazing story. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a major milestone for a former first lady and the sweet wish from her husband. Finally here on this very busy night of news, happiest of birthdays to Barbara Pierce of Rye, New York. That was the tweet today from former President George H.W. Bush to his wife of 72 years. He says, "I'm still the luckiest guy in the world." A family spokesperson said the couple is celebrating by spending a quiet day at their summer home in Maine. And we wish both of them the best. Happy birthday, Mrs. Bush. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.